Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right, going on vacation this episode. Beercation, as it were. Yes, we already told you, we're doing things a little differently, switching it up, because when you get down to it, there's only so many beer styles. They are finite. So we're doing things differently, and Dugout is going to help take us to where are we going, Dugout?
We're going on a beercation, and we are going to Beer City, USA, also known as Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's a bold statement, though. Beer City, USA.
That's big.
Beer City, USA. Yep. It's
there's a lot of USA.
There's a lot of USA, and there's a lot of cities that have a lot of beer. But as somebody who visits Grand Rapids on a regular basis, I have to say I've been going for a few years now, and I still haven't even made a dent in all the breweries that are there.
And you're from Chicago, so you've been privy to Milwaukee and things like Goose Island, and so
sure.
It's a bold statement.
It is, and I'll tell you what, they've got some stiff competition, but I do believe that it is. And if it's not the best, it is a world-class beer city.
It's right in our back. Well, not our backyard. It's you know, what, 3-hour drive? Day. But still, I mean, it's highly accessible to us and probably one of those things we kind of take for granted.
I don't.
Michiganders or Michiganians.
I try to enjoy as much of it as I can when I'm there.
Hear, hear. I go for that. Love going to Grand Rapids, Michigan. There's a lot of great history for the state of Michigan out of that city. And now we're making history with our great breweries and great beers. So I'm in 100% agreement that it qualifies as Beer City, USA.
So before we get too far in, we'd like to ask everybody to kind of open up a beer with us. Enjoy, because I know we sure do.
Hey, man. I'd also like to ask, we didn't really have introductions. Junior's here again with us.
Yeah, it's true. JR from MichiganBeerGuide.com introducing Junior.
Uncle Pete's here.
Yep. Dugout and
Dugout is here.
I'm Chris. You know, I've realized too, I edit these. I always introduce you guys, never really introduce myself. But let's get back to that beer. Let's open it and let's crack it open and enjoy.
Yes, please do. I'm thirsty.
There we go. All right.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
It's like a Pavlovian response. I immediately looked up to Pete with an empty glass.
We can't have empty glasses.
So, yeah, as we said, Beer City, USA. Voted Beer City in USA in national polls and named Best Beer Town by USA Today readers. Grand Rapids is the perfect place for your next beercation. Our city ale trail boasts 40-plus breweries, and we'll get into that ale trail in a little bit. And that's more incredible craft beer per square mile than just about anywhere else on earth.
I do have to say, you guys introduced me to Founders doing this show, and just my review on them is just wow. Just everything Founders, like, I think I've said this on previous shows, quality ingredients, seems like they take a little extra time or just put a little something extra into Founders. It just the quality is there, and it's, if you can hear my voice and you can somehow get Founders, do it.
Yes. Just do it.
So most of us think as Grand Rapids beer scene is a little bit more recent, and I suppose in the craft beer movement, yes, it's very recent, but Grand Rapids does have a pretty rich brewing history, and it was one of the first conglomerate breweries pre-prohibition in the U.S., which was Grand Rapids Brewing Company, and it was originally formed in 1892 with a merger of six local breweries, and at its peak brewed about 250,000 barrels of beer, mostly German styles. And you know, if you compare that to, say, Founders, and you think Founders is big, right? I mean, Founders is big.
I was able to, before the holidays, at one last trip, New Jersey, was able to go. There was a liquor store right by my hotel and tons of craft beer, and they had a whole door of Founders. It was delicious.
So Founders in 14 put out 200,000 barrels. This Grand Rapids Brewing at its peak put out 250,000 barrels of beer. That's pretty impressive. I mean, considering populations in that time period aren't what they are today. Cities certainly weren't as big as they are today.
Yeah.
Hey, Dugout.
Yes, sir.
Can we get a quote, beer quote?
You know, I have this great beer quote too. I think it's awesome. And it's it comes from Martin Luther, the Reformationist. Here's what Martin Luther has to say. Whoever drinks beer, he is quick to sleep. Whoever sleeps long does not sin. Whoever does not sin enters heaven. Thus, let us drink beer.
Can't get in trouble when you're sleeping. See, I see his point.
So, in addition to all the breweries in Grand Rapids, there are quite a few events that go on, and there's some upcoming events within the next few weeks. Cool Brews and Hot Eats and Grand Rapids Beer Week 2016 is coming up in February. And then you also have the Winter Beer Festival. Any of the beer nuts going to the Winter Beer Festival?
I did not score tickets. Nope. I still wish I could, but there's Friday tickets available, but Saturday's sold out.
Saturday is sold out.
But and if there's anybody also, that can last Saturdays, I'd love
to. Sadly, as a ex-Las Vegas resident, that's, my blood's a little too thin. Can't make it happen this year.
Now, what I want to hear about, the Brewer's Big Breakfast. Uncle Pete, could you fill us in on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Junior and I have been there, what, twice, I think. Didn't we go?
I went 1 year.
1 year. Well, anyway, you go to Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the morning of Saturday morning of the Winter Brew Fest there in Grand Rapids, and they put on a breakfast that is just unbelievable. Of course, beer is flowing, 8 in the morning. There's a line to get in usually. We got there at a good time and got a good spot, so we were in, no problem. Had some great craft beers with our breakfast, beer-themed food, food that pairs well with the beers. They even had coffee, you know, like cold-pressed coffee on nitro. That was just fantastic. If you like your coffee in the morning, put it on nitro. It'll take you to a whole nother level.
Not to mention the actual environment, you know, in the brewery itself is an old church that's been renovated into a bar, and the bar is actually placed right on the altar. So it's kind of a weird twist when you're in there, a little satanic type feeling when you're in there.
Oh yeah, we genuflected and crossed ourselves and sat in a little pew seat at our table. And man, I'll tell you, Brewery Vivant, you guys put on a fantastic brewer's breakfast the morning of the beer fest. So if you ever get a chance to go and you're in the area, highly, highly recommended.
And this is usually, what, late February?
Mid-February, yeah.
Might have to drag the old lady up there. She likes beer. I like beer.
All right, you guys have me sold. Maybe my blood's not as thin as I thought. Maybe. So next year I'm in, man.
But, you know, it's so cool. Like Peter said, the atmosphere, not only because of the building that you're in and, you know, it's got the stained glass and all this and, you know, the atmosphere, but the people, everybody is in such a great mood that morning and ready to go to a festival, you know, and you got to fill your tank before you go and, you know, start drinking at one of these festivals. What better place to do that with other beer nuts like yourselves and enjoy a beer with breakfast? I mean, how often do you do that at home? It really opens up your mind to what's possible.
So we're gonna crack open our first beer here. You know, the show is about Grand Rapids metro area. So our first brewery is from Hudsonville, which is right next to Grand Rapids. The brewery itself is called White Flame, and there's actually two breweries that were just within a couple blocks of each other in Hudsonville. One is called Pike 51, and then there's the one we're sampling here, which is White Flame. What we have from them tonight is called Super G, and it is a 6% ABV IPA. I'm wondering if I don't think this is a smash, but it only has a list of Galaxy hops in this one, hence the name Super G, because there is a lot of hops in this. I don't have quite have the IBUs listed in front of me, but I can tell you this stuff's big. I mean, the aroma I get is just a slight touch of malt, but pretty much piney hops.
Well, I was telling Dugout when I opened this and poured it, it hit me from like a foot away. Like I could smell it before I even got in near my nose.
The hops stunk up the room. Yeah. And I do have to say that this is about as fresh as you get. I was just at the brewery on Tuesday. So that's where this one came from, obviously. So kind of the appearance, you get a little darker kind of almost an amber color to it.
It kind of looks a little darker from what I've learned about hoppier beers.
And from IPAs in general. This one is a little bit on the darker side. It's got really a great, nice head on this beer. And I'll tell you what, a sip on this, it's got a really nice body to it for a 6%. It's not thin at all. But these Galaxy hops just attack your tongue in a pretty aggressive manner. This is really hoppy. Wow.
Yep.
It really made the aroma in the room, though, eh?
I mean, I'm starting to develop a palate for hops. You know, I'm not running away from hops anymore. Yeah, wow. It's definitely, that's hops. that's my review on it.
Now, I mean, did it really fill the room as soon as you opened it?
Yeah. Uncle Pete is about a foot to my right, and I could smell it in the glass.
I mean, we could be onto something here. You know, like you got your Glade air fresheners. They should come up with a hop.
Oh, air freshener. Beer air fresheners.
I'd buy that.
Single mail.
I mean, pipe that in to my room all day long, and I'll be alert, ready to work, and get productive, and whatever.
Well, you know, you got to think, is maybe it's like a version of a Randall, only using forced air.
I like it. It was like when Cheech and Chong pulled up next to that concert venue, and their little van was on fire, right? Everybody got pretty excited about the show.
Yeah, weren't they going through customs?
Oh, they
and
made
that
it.
Van was on fire.
Yeah.
So, a little bit more about White Flame. It's one of my favorite breweries or brew pubs in Michigan, and that says a lot.
Isn't this the brewery that had the barrel aged tequila beer?
The tequila, beer aged in tequila barrels. Yes. Yep. And it's a very small place. Although they've just expanded and they've been working on the expansion for years and years. But it is now officially open, but nobody sits out there. They still all just cram into the little bar. And it's very, a lot of local people who go there quite often. A lot of regulars see the same people in there every time. And couldn't be a friendlier place. I mean, everything from there is phenomenal. They just do great, great work on beer.
So, Doug, you mentioned the hops in this for Galaxy, but I was cruising around on the White Flame website, and they talk about Galena hops. That starts with a G.
Galena.
Yeah,
you know what?
With a high alpha.
That's a brain typo, Pete.
Yeah, okay, it happens, man. It happens. No biggie. No, I'm not trying to be corrective or anything, but I'm just thinking Galaxy. I know I've heard of those before, but just
yeah, it is Galena. I stand corrected.
Yeah, and so it's a very high alpha hop, 10-14% alpha acid, which is certainly going to give this thing a kick, you know, in the pants for bitterness and aroma.
Moving along, I mean, unless you guys have any other comments on White Flame, I mean, I know we've reviewed them on the show before. We reviewed the Golden Flame, which is their ale aged in tequila barrels.
That was good.
And I remember, it was good.
Yeah. That was one of our High Gravity Series nights. Many.
Hey, thanks to everybody who has downloaded the Barrel Aged Beers episode. It's one of our most popular episodes.
I'd like to add on a visit a couple years ago to Grand Rapids. I, by chance, ran into the brewers from White Flame. There was a local organization of the brewers there that had done a Woodford Reserve Barrel Aged Challenge where they each brewed a beer aged in Woodford Reserve barrels, and all of them were available to taste at the Hopcat Grand Rapids. So I was sitting at the bar, and it's like, I would like a taster of each of these so I could see which one was my favorite. And the guy next to me said, which one was your favorite? And Sandra, like to know. And I said, well, I really think this one from White Flame was my favorite. And it turned out he was the brewer from White, the assistant brewer for White Flame. I hung out with those guys for like the next hour, and they were very pleased that I enjoyed theirs the most, and I had no idea who they were, so it wasn't biased.
Hey, is Hopcat from Grand Rapids?
There is one there.
I work in, we know the show is from Detroit. I work in downtown Detroit. I work in Midtown, and there's a Hopcat that opened up there about a year ago. And
yep, Grand Rapids was their first, and now they've expanded. I think there's one in
Ann Arbor,
Lansing,
I think.
This might seem like a silly question, but we've been drinking some beer. They're microbrew as well?
Yes, they are. They actually, the Grand Rapids location is listed as a brew pub. They come out to all the Michigan Brewers Guild festivals. They'll be at the Winter Festival in Grand Rapids coming up here in a couple weeks.
Oh, might have to make a stop after work here now. It's on the way home. Yeah. It's crazy.
East Lansing, Grand Rapids, Lexington, Lincoln, Madison, and Detroit.
Thought there was Indianapolis, too. There's somewhere
Broad, Broad Ripple?
Yes, Broad Ripple. That's it.
Broad Ripple. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take us off on a tangent here just for a second. But so, I mean, as far as to get from homebrew to, you know, getting it in your local cooler, is that how it usually starts? Like, all right, we're homebrewing, now we have some beer pub, and then we have many beer pubs, and then that turns into now we get distributed nationally? Or is, I mean, that's just a rabbit hole maybe I'm going down here. Is that usually the journey, or?
It could be, and it is in a lot of instances.
So, I mean, does this mean we're like 2 or 3 years from seeing Hopcat in our coolers at the stores, or?
Not necessarily. I think that's a big leap for a smaller operation. They would have to probably do an off-site brewery for it. Well, I mean, they pretty much drink
small.
Up.
They're in multiple states, so it's not super small.
They just drink up what they make. And
it could happen, but I think that's not their mission. Their mission is just to serve great beer, serve it properly. All their servers are educated and certified and knowledgeable, and they just want to make a great beer, craft beer experience for their visitors. And part of that is serving their own beers, but I don't think they're mission is to be, you know, hey, let's sell canned and bottled beer.
You know, you gotta love having the knowledgeable servers, because over the last week I was out of town, which, by the way, New York, your craft beer game is weak. All right, I'm just going to put that out there. But anyways, I went to a chain that perhaps serves chicken and shows sports. All right, and I just asked what beers they had on tap, and I was told by the person who served me, oh, well, here's the list. And I found that kind of off-putting. Like, you don't, I understand there's a list, but perhaps maybe learn what you're selling? I don't know. I was a little perturbed.
Was that one that involved something related to owls or something related to a woolly beast that ran on the prairies?
Oh, the woolly beast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that flies.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say is there are establishments that, oh, by the way, we have craft beer, and there are establishments like, we're a craft beer destination. We're going to educate our servers. We're going to cater to the craft beer crowd. And there's other establishments that are like, well, you know, we're going to have a few things. But you know, I was at an establishment last night that didn't have, I mean, this is in the state of Michigan. They did not have Two Hearted Ale. They did not have a single Founders selection. And they're trying to be a craft beer bar in this.
I'd have stormed out.
It was a joke. I mean, here's even the bigger violation, I think. The most popular craft beer style is IPA. They had no IPAs on tap.
Wow.
You have 8 taps and you have no IPAs. Unacceptable. So that is not a craft beer destination. That's no, by the way. We'll have, I mean, they have growlers sale and they don't even have an IPA. So somebody's not doing their job. No Founders, no IPA. I mean, these are the kind of places you could write a book about all the things that they do wrong.
Well, JR, you indirectly answered a question I was going to have for you guys. In my quest now to drink better beers, I've noticed, like, IPA everywhere. I was going to ask you if that is the most popular style. Apparently it is.
The most popular style. The close second would be a seasonal, which encompasses a lot of different, but, you know, yeah, we're in the winter, so a winter ale. But my point is, you can't, it's like the Frank's app, you can't be a real country if you don't have a beer or an airline. Well, you can't be a craft beer bar.
All right, so I'm going to just kind of shift this along here. One last comment about Hudsonville, Michigan, is that they do have what I understand is an outstanding spring beer festival. I do plan on attending this year. Again, from what I hear, it's outstanding. So hats off to that little city that's got the two great beer places just right around the corner from each other.
And as Michigan residents, we also know great ice cream.
Great ice cream.
Have the breweries and the ice cream companies talked? Like, hey, let's do something together.
That's one of my favorite combos, beer and ice cream. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, hey, maybe if nobody else can make it work, maybe Al Green, maybe you can play that, let's get together. Al Green is was originally from Grand Rapids.
Yes.
We were talking about Hopcat, mm-hmm. And I just want to get back to it real quick. Ratebeer.com, which is, we've talked about Ratebeer. It's really a go-to source for finding out about what everybody thinks about beers.
Mm-hmm.
And they listed Hopcat as America's best brew pub.
Wow.
The best.
The best.
The best.
So every day at lunch, when I'm at work, when I'm in Detroit, I'm just driving by the best beer pub.
Well, that's the Detroit location. They're talking about the Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay. We're going individual.
Yeah, because they do actually brew at the Grand Rapids. I don't believe they brew at the Detroit location.
Make sure you get the crack.
Oh, yeah.
The crack fries. Crack fries.
Crack fries. Fries on crack, okay.
Deep fried French fries. Deep fried and batter.
So we are moving from Hudsonville, just down the street. We've already mentioned these guys, so let's do it again. Pete, why don't you give us a little bit of sampling on some Brewery Vivant over there?
No problem. You know what? I'm going to turn it over to Junior and let him cut his teeth here a little bit, and he's going to do some pepper in the rye.
Yeah, so we talked about Vivant earlier. You know, they're down there in Grand Rapids, really good brewery. And the pepper in the rye, 6.3 ABV, supposed to have some pepper... right in the boil, they throw some peppercorns right in, green peppercorns, and kind of a orangish amber color to it. You know, this one's a little lighter probably than some of their other beers that they have, but it looks really nice.
Yeah, really nice clarity, crystal clear, golden color. What do you think of the aroma there, Junior?
Yes, it's kind of a Belgian style rye. It's got the rye, but it's Belgian style. You know, with that sweet, sweet, sugary smell to it. Not super hoppy, but if there's any real hops in there, it's kind of a citrusy hop, if anything.
I get a nice pepper aroma on the nose. It's a little spicy, peppery. I don't know, I won't say black pepper, but just enough to almost lead me to a sneeze. But I like it.
Yeah, it's got that nice spiciness to it. And you tell it's Belgian.
Very clean, very crisp. I like the mouthfeel. Definitely got some Belgian influence here. The rye and the peppercorns lead to a little a nice spicy pepper. Very light bodied.
Little bite, just a little bite from the pepper. It's not over powerful like a habanero. It's not like a habanero or anything like that. But that's like a green pepper.
I just like it because it's clean and refreshing. You know, yeah. It's got a very nice, just a clarity to it and a refreshing mouthfeel. Very clean, very, very refreshing.
Like I tell you, someone who likes to grill the steaks and garlic and pepper, I'm jealous that you gentlemen have that at your location.
Right where I was going with this. I mean, this would be great with food pairing. I mean, there's a multitude of things that you could pair with this, with the little pepper going on with it. Yeah, like you said, like a nice steak, maybe a chicken dish or, you know, man.
Even some fish. I'd had that beer before, and actually we were originally going to do it on another episode that had never aired. So I had my first share of samplings on that stuff, and I agree with you. That's a great food beer. Got complexity to it, but nothing's overpowering.
You know, the word vivant actually translates into, like, be alive, vibrant. You kind of get that when you taste a beer like this. It's got that little bite to it, catch, but it's not really subtle. You know, you really got to wait for the taste. It's right up front as soon as you taste the beer.
You know, I'm not one that's ever really searched out green peppercorns and put them in any of my food. I'm just one of those guys. I just like regular stuff, but I like it. I really do.
Yeah, I like to cook with this. I like to make pulled pork with various beers, and I think the next time I make some pulled pork, this might be...
You know, we got to have a beer nuts potluck.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Junior's brewing an amber ale tomorrow, and at about 2 in the morning tonight, I'm putting a pork butt in the smoker. And I'm going to have to think about which beer that I'm going to put in the little tray at the bottom of the smoker to help keep things moist in there. So this might be a candidate.
I was going to say, what if a peppercorn beer sounds like it would be something to do with food.
And a rye beer is typically a bit spicy and peppery to begin with.
I'm sold, guys. I'm sold. I might have to do that.
And I might add, we might have a trifecta tomorrow. We might actually get the voice recorder out. We might have all three beer nuts brewing together in Pete's garage.
Don't threaten us with a good time.
I know, right?
If I put the big red cock in the smoker, that might be pretty good. That's another beer from Brewery We Found, by the way, called Big Red Cox.
Yeah.
I want to clarify that for all of our
listeners. It really is a beer that will be reviewed later in the show.
Now, here's a fun little fact about Brewery Vivant. Is they were the world's first LEED, L-E-E-D, certified microbrewery. And
that's technical.
That's a green scale. Green as far as like, your energy footprint.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, not what me, you know, I've been doing. Yeah.
Right.
I have a lot of respect for that brewery. The only time I ever visited there, I was there at 20 to 3, and they opened at 3, and I actually called, and they're like, oh, wait till we... I'm like, nope, gotta go. And I went down the coast and hit like 3 more breweries, but I'll be back. They're a destination, and...
Well, the food is great, too. Let me tell you, I mean, I didn't mention at the breakfast, until they had pork belly biscuits and gravy. Beer mosas. I think we had, I didn't have the duck nachos, but everything I hear about duck nachos is just like off the hook.
If I may ask what a beer mosa is, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah, JR, you were right, took the words right out of my mouth.
Great buzz.
I want to hear more about duck nachos.
Well, imagine taking a Saison or a farmhouse ale and putting it in with an orange juice, right? You know how, what a mimosa, right? Made with champagne and orange juice, right? So just take your favorite near champagne style beer, like a farmhouse or a Saison, something with great effervescence. Put it into a fresh squeezed orange juice. Oh, man.
My mind initially went to beer and champagne.
Strong ale with orange juice, that sounds perfect.
Let's do it. We need to mash up some of these mixology experiments. I love mixology. In fact, we might do one later tonight on this show, on this episode, if we get a chance.
Brewery Vivant tends to be, for those who have not had their product, a lot of their stuff revolves around wild yeasts, sours, tarts. So their beer is quite different.
Big props for that.
Amen. Well, cheers to Brewery Vivant. None of us have anything negative to say about that brewery. It's a treat every time I have it, and I owe you a visit, Brewery Vivant. I'll be there soon.
Good discussion on Pepper in the Rye, Junior. Good stuff.
We're going to move a little bit to the southwest here in a city that's it's an older city, but it's pretty much now part of Metro Grand Rapids, and that's Holland, Michigan. I spent quite a few...
with the windmills and the tulips.
Tulip time, yep.
I was a Western Michigan resident for about 3 years, so it's a little tiny piece of my heart is still out there.
Well, as a Dutch American, a big piece of my heart is over in Holland, Michigan.
Dutch American. That's the first time I heard that. That's good. Dutch American.
Is that what you check on the census when it
that
comes
that would
around?
Be my census, yeah. But we're not going for the obvious of the Holland breweries. There's three that I'm aware of. There are three. And we are going to Big Lake Brewing.
Oh, it's not where I thought we were going. I got some New Holland in the fridge upstairs.
Well, New Holland's coming. Chris, you're gonna do the introduction on the Dark Star.
So, Dark Star, this is right up my alley at this point in my craft beer career, we will call it. It is a coffee stout. We'll do what JR likes to do. We will read the can. Dark Star is a full-bodied stout brewed using both Kona and Sumatra coffee and then aged in cocoa bean. Or wait, is that cacao?
Cocoa nibs.
Cocoa nibs? Oh, okay. I know some people get all artsy-fartsy and they say cacao, but...
I get fartsy. I don't get artsy.
Yeah. That's the Midwest. That's how we do it. The can is also recommending you drink it in a snifter glass. I am excited to try this. I mentioned off-air between the previous shows over the we'll say the holiday break, because it definitely wasn't over just Christmas. Spent some time chasing down some of that Cup of Joe stout from Shorts Brewing.
Nummy.
Yeah, there was a Saturday where I lost a couple hours going all up and down the big street near my house, and I realized there was a place near my parents' house I've known about all my life I should have just went to in the first place. Probably went through a case. Well, me and my girlfriend went through probably about a case worth of that over the holidays, and I like coffee stouts, so I'm excited to try this.
So here's kind of the ingredient lineup here. This is a full-bodied stout brewed using both Kona and Sumatra coffee.
Which, if you like coffee, I mean, that's... If you're a coffee snob, that's right up your alley.
And then it's aged on cocoa nibs. So, JR, does this sort of ingredients in a beer sound familiar to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is I was at the beer store the other day, and I saw this. I'm like, I've never even heard of this brewery, Big Lakes. But it's like, it's a Michigan beer. And I read the description, and I'm like, I got to try this.
That's
full body stout brewed using Kona. Does that sound familiar, Dugout, to something we brewed?
That is something we brewed. We did not use the cocoa nibs, though. We put Dutch cocoa powder right into the boil.
We kind of took it to another level and put some spirits and added some vanilla beans and some other stuff. But as a base beer, this is pretty close.
You know, we have some Dark Star music.
It's not as potent as some other coffee beers, but there's definitely a coffee taste in there. It's not like a bean flicker type beer or something like that, but it's got the coffee.
Bean flicker's light, man. This one's full-bodied Sumatra coffee, man. This thing is kicking.
So we're at 8% on this bad boy.
Nice.
I think it masks it really well. I don't taste any alcohol burn.
It's all coffee.
It's all about coffee and malt.
Be looked at fondly by me because the first beer I ever had was this, and this is damn good. So when my first exposure to a brewery is a good experience, it generally never goes away. That's, you know what they say, what first impressions for everything?
Yeah, never get a second chance to make a first impression.
This is a home run. This is good.
This is like one of those breakfast beers we talked about in other episodes.
And we got another one coming up. We have another breakfast beer coming up. I give this one high marks. It's got a beautiful flavor profile. I love a good strong cup of really good coffee in the morning.
Yes.
I don't mind it in my beer. I think it's actually really, really good. I just have to remember that, you know, no coffee beers after 10 o'clock at night.
I love the smell of
coffee. Yeah, right.
I'll tell you, I'm a black coffee drinker. I'm not a sugar and cream kind of guy. So this, to me, is a really nice black coffee beer.
I agree.
You know, Cup of Joe has a nice lactose sweetness to it, and it tastes like a coffee with cream and sugar, but on a different level. I mean, this one is plain.
There's no French vanilla, no hazelnut. This is black coffee.
This is pressed Sumatra and Kona coffee right into your beer.
Hey, Chris.
And I love it.
Yeah?
We have about a little squeeze coffee in your bed.
Well, I've got to tell you guys, this beer is a big pleasant surprise. I knew nothing about it.
Same here. I saw this on the show.
I've never heard of Big Lake. To me, this looks like some guy sold you this out of the back of his fucking trunk.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because there is a business here in Michigan. It's a mobile canning unit, and it will go out to a brewery.
Oh, we've talked about them.
Yes, it'll go out to a brewery and produce cans for
them. So this is one of them.
This, I believe, is one of them.
So for you musicians out there, Doug out, you'll get this. It's like the disc makers of craft beer.
Of craft beer. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, Big Lake. I just started seeing their stuff over on this side of the state, you know, in our local craft beer stores. And haven't bought any yet, but I'll tell you, this is going to prompt me to go out and grab a couple.
There's
of
another one that was a rye IPA.
Hey, well, do they have a website?
Ryko. Ryko IPA.
I think so.
Well, these guys, I think, are like a new up-and-coming, you know, and that's the beauty of the mobile canners. They're able to bring those beers to us that we might never even know they exist.
Hey.
Cheers to Michigan Mobile Canning, and cheers to Big Lake Brewing.
Yeah.
Bring us some more beers.
Go to the Google, look up Big Lake Brewing. We don't know if they have a website, but they should.
They've more than likely. A Facebook page, and I'll give you a little hint what's coming. They've got Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels filled with a beer called Benevolence, which is an imperial stout.
I want.
And it says it's coming up on a February 2016 release. So
imperial stouts are delicious.
If you love imperial stout, Asian a Buffalo Trace bourbon barrel, I think you better keep your eyes out for this one.
So that imperial stout Asian bourbon barrel translation: don't make any plans.
You're not going anywhere tonight.
Let's go to the brewery and get something before it sells out.
Make plans, drink it,
and then I make plans for Uber.
So we're going to move back into, we're going back into Grand Rapids. Let's talk about a brewery that, they've had a lot of rock star hits from these guys, and that's Perrin Brewing.
Who?
Perrin.
You didn't spell that?
Perrin.
Okay. I was saying the name, I did not recognize it when you spelled it. I have seen this before in places.
JR, what do we got going over there?
We've got from Perrin Brewing, we have Perrin Hot Box Brown Ale.
Hot Box, huh?
Hot Dug Box.
That's our cue.
Yeah.
This is 5.5%. So that's like Yeah, normal brown ale. I know you guys get sick of me reading, but you know what? This is what we have. This is the knowledge we have of this brand. All I can tell you is it tastes fantastic.
Oh, the name leads me to think something, that's for sure.
We've taken Fox Roasters, finest South American themes, and woven them into our cult classic Nut Brown Ale, encompassing subtle hints of melted caramel, toffee, toasted almonds, light chocolate, and a fresh brewed coffee aroma. This brew is born for shaken bacon and day break. This is the first time I've tasted this beer. I bought it and I'm tasting it fine. So if it's a bomb, I'm going to tell you, it's not a bomb, man. It is the bomb. I'm tasting lots of coffee in it.
Oh, what's this called again? Tasting
coffee, mostly coffee, though. And we just had some coffee in it, but man. There is some nuts in there.
I think the plan is just to drink all these coffee beers and stay up all night until we brew them all.
Is Martin Luther King Day tomorrow?
We keep doing coffee beers. We'll have a couple more episodes tonight.
None of us work tomorrow. So
those of you listening, it'll be after Martin Luther King Day, but we are taping this the day before. So nobody has to work tomorrow, so that's a good thing, but... Honestly, this is a lot of coffee in this.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that. Junior, what do you think?
Well, this one, it's not as dark. I mean, it's got a caramel color instead of like a really dark, like really, really roasted malt to it. So you can kind of see through it almost if you look down into your glass. But this one smells really good. You can smell the coffee coming right out of it as soon as you... Even when you're going to drink it, it's like, man, that coffee is right in your face.
I was not expecting this coffee.
That's really good.
There's some serious coffee action here.
There might be a little peppery something to it.
And it's only 5.5%. Yeah. It's not blowing you away, but...
No.
Uncle Pete said the last one, variety of black coffee. This is black coffee, man. There's no hazelnut, no vanilla. This is just... pure coffee beanery.
Boy, I love the aroma. If you like iced coffee.
Yep.
So you know a lot about Perrin from other brands.
No one bought anything from Perrin Brewing. It was a brewery that was known to have like a lot of financial backing. So really didn't really achieve much. You know, the beers were just okay. I remember going to like beer festivals and they gave out lighters, stickers, and a lot of stuff, but beers weren't all that. I don't know what happened, but overnight, they just blew up. I mean, no rules came out, and it was the talk of the state. It might have been arguably the best beer in the state of Michigan last year. It hands down the best beer.
Well, don't they do that no rules?
Yeah, no rules.
Oh, my goodness.
And overnight, Aaron went in like a, they're good, but... this followed up no rules. I was expecting when I got it. This is the first time I've seen it. So I think great things are happening to Perrin. I know that very recently Oscar Blues.
Exactly.
Breweries.
Oscar Blues again.
What I understand, they're not really messing with it. They do what you're doing. Glad to be,
Influx of some dinero and help them out.
So now they have some resources to, expand what they're doing. I have nothing great things to say about Perrin Brewing, and this is an extension of it. No rules. It is well documented as one of the feel good stories of probably the best new Michigan beer last year, in my opinion. That's what I would vote.
I'd agree.
And this. Is a 12-ounce can, very recently priced beer that is like a really strong coffee flavored. I give this a very good
score. I agree 100%. Love Perrin Brewing. Glad they got connected with Oscar Blues. I'm sure the influx of money really helped them out. And, they got some great beers. I love the No Rules, if you haven't had it. But still, they've got some good basic IPAs. They got a black beer. I haven't been to Perrin. Dugout, you been to Perrin?
I have not been to Perrin. You guys remember a malted milk ball stout that they did? It was just awesome.
Yeah.
And they're right.
What? Malted milk ball stout?
Malted milk ball stout. Yeah.
What?
And it tasted like malted milk balls.
Is this widely available, or is this one like a one-shot only?
It was one-shot only, and I've never seen it back.
So when you go over there, you could stop at Vivant, have a big red cock, and then go to Perrin and have malted milk balls. Oh, you got everything you need. Ba-da-boom-bom.
Yeah. You know that their IPA is called 98 Problems. 98 Problems, and it's very good.
So, yeah, and that's not one of my problems.
It's also now available in 12-ounce cans throughout the state. Now, just recently, I was in Lansing a couple, not too long ago, for a hockey tournament for one of my sons. And I found all these cans in 12-ounce cans, and I bought some of each. And this is the first time I had the hot box, and it will be the last. This is fantastic. The 98 Problems IPA was spot on. I can't remember the third can, but there was another variant. And
they got the Poop Your Pants chocolate box.
There you go.
Sorry, guys, I'm bringing the levity to this
thing. Well, hey, you know, they're not afraid to no rules, you know. There are no rules for this brewery, but you know what? Say what you will, their beers are fantastic, and we're happy to have them in the state of Michigan and in our backyard and in our beer stores.
They got a barrel-aged Imperial Brown, right? I'm sure you guys, I know I've had it, JR, I'm pretty sure you have.
Yep, I got one in the fridge now.
You know what's really interesting, actually, I just found Hotbox, there's a Hotbox Coffee Porter by Oscar Blues that they made, Oscar Blues Brewing Company. So I wonder if there's any like correspondence to the Perrin.
Oh, yeah.
Perrin. Maybe there's some kind of merger between those two beers.
You guys have the same look
to it.
I have.
There's no rules! What's this, sir,
No rules.
There the are dude. No rules.
Where's the dude?
Maybe that beer was a collaboration of brewmasters between Perrin and Oscar Blues.
Might have been.
That's one of the positives to when companies merge, or and especially if they're allowed to run with autonomy, that a merger like that can kind of bring creative processes together and sort of form a synergy where, you know,
processes
they become better than they were on their own.
If he was Canadian, he would have said processes.
Yeah.
But you know, very eloquent, Doug. I mean, your words are right on, and I was thinking that. You know, these guys getting together, and it's when two craft beer breweries get together versus a conglomerate, right, taking over. I think there's a lot more to be said for how they can get their creative juices flowing and create some great new beers. So here's a hot box from
Oscar Blues.
Look at that. Coffee Porter. Sorry, JR just introduced us to a big tall boy.
Let's pour beer into the weed. This should be interesting.
Doesn't mean we have to.
Oh,
we can?
Here's an episode.
No, it literally just happened. This should be fun.
Beer marinated buds.
Oscar Blues. But we're actually talking Grand Rapids now.
We're going back to Holland, Michigan now.
Tulips are blooming in Holland, Michigan.
And we're going to go with a brewery that's would be considered pretty much a veteran at this point, which is New Holland Brewing. From there, we have El Mole Ocho.
El Mole Ocho.
Yes, eight moles. So maybe eight different kinds of peppers in this?
Is this going to be a spicy? Just take like the red sauce at Taco Bell, or what's going
dark
on here?
Chocolate.
No. It's I believe we've got coffee in this one, too. We definitely have alcohol.
Oh, we have coffee and heat?
We have coffee. There's a bit of
JR.
Pepper.
This could be
You think of a mole sauce, and a mole sauce has chocolate, sesame seeds, quite a few ingredients in that. This is a 2013 vintage, and when I opened it up, it just it had life to it, man. There's a few ounces on the floor here.
Uh-oh. Where's the cat?
Yeah, Kitty's taking care of that right now.
Lick it up, Kitty.
But it's sort of
that cat's not going to go to sleep tonight.
Yeah, no, right?
This is a dark golden amber beer. It's quite smooth. It's got sort of a coffee background. It's not coffee in your face, like probably the two previous beers we just had. It's actually got a really nice sort of complex flavor to it.
The spice shows up somewhere in the center of your chest.
Yeah, just a tinge of heat, not much at all, just really a tinge. I think the aging has maybe taken away some of the heat. It's also taken away some of the burn of the ABV on this as well.
So if I had one of these, it would be El Mole Ocho. But if I had more than one, it would be Los Mole Ochos, right?
I believe you're correct. I don't think the label is going to change to reflect that proper use of Spanish, though.
I was just thinking back to Sister Assumpta.
A lot of high school days.
So I got to hand it to New Holland Brewing. As I said, they're kind of a veteran. They've been around quite a few years.
I got some of the Poet up in the fridge.
Oh, I think they do some really good beers. I think that going to the brewery itself is interesting as well, because there's always stuff on tap there that's not available in the general market. I was just there Tuesday night. You know, the first beer I tried, it sounded crazy. Crazy ingredients sounded awesome. It wasn't a beer that I preferred to drink, so I had to move on. And I did get a Mad Hatter, which is their IPA, and I know that they've reformulated that. And it's, wow, it was great. Great stuff.
Yeah, I love New Holland. I've been there a couple times, and boy, they make some great variants, and they try some different things. They got some good barrel-aged beers there.
Some sours. They do quite a few sours now.
Good variety, yeah.
It's a distillery as well, so they make spirits there, and the one spirit that I've had from them, and I've had quite a few, the one that really stands out is their gin. Their gin is amazing.
If you've learned from previous Beer Nuts episodes, as I have, you want to go to a microbrewery that, if you can, I'm not saying that's not disparaging any microbreweries that don't, but if what I've learned from talking with you gentlemen is if a microbrewery has a distillery, go to that microbrewery.
It's usually going to be really good.
Yeah.
Don't they, Dugout, have some spirits that they age in beer barrels?
Yes, they do. They do.
You know, and we've learned the barrels can exchange at these type of places.
Right, right. So, you know, we've heard of beer aged in bourbon barrels. Now we've got spirits aged in beer barrels. I like that. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, they're a pretty forward-thinking company. I know they brew a lot of different styles, and I'll be the first one to say that not everything they brew fits my flavor palette as maybe it would for somebody else.
But. Yeah, here it is. JR just brought it in. Don't lose the cap, JR. It's a beer barrel bourbon.
A beer barrel bourbon. So you guys are finished.
I'm listening.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You beer piqued our attention. Are there shot glasses along with that?
Yeah. No, we're just going to drink it straight out of the bottle.
Man. Oh, very about? Nice.
Yeah.
College style.
Looks great. Yeah. Oh, JR brought a shot glass. Here he goes. There, we got to taste this. Oh, man, that smells good. We're doing an ounce at a time here.
Well, you know, you guys got things that we don't have, and we have things that you don't have. You know, it's crazy. Ours are more plant-based, but...
Wow.
Okay, well, this is all plant-based.
Touche.
Read the bottle. It's an artisan spirit. Beer barrel bourbon. Bourbon whiskey finished in oak beer barrels. 40% alcohol. 80 proof. Many craft brewers will attest that whiskey barrels make great beer. And New Holland has a beer they call Dragon's Milk, which is a stout aged in bourbon barrels. It's a delicious example of that style. But beer barrel bourbon goes to show that the opposite is also true. And beer barrels make remarkable whiskey. This is the first beer barrel bourbon aged in new American oak barrels for several years before a three-month beery slumber. The beer barrel aging lends biscuity notes and a smooth malt character to the roasted, robust whiskey tones of toffee and caramel. Love it.
You know what? Great if color. You can have a bourbon barrel beer, you can have a beer barrel bourbon, and that's exactly what this is, and it's
wonderful. That's a tongue twister.
Steve Harvey says...
Yeah,
that's a great tequila.
So here's a fun little fact about Holland, Michigan, because I was there the other night, and it was snowing, and it had been snowing all day.
Really, it snows in West Michigan.
Oh, a lot.
You don't say. Real quick, small detour. There was one year where it started snowing the day after Christmas and did not stop until the day after New Year's. And I'm not talking about flurries. I'm talking about sideways snow for like a week.
Dumping on you.
Yeah.
Just dumping, like somebody taking a bucket and dumping it over your head.
Yeah,
like, it comes down that hard.
It was insane because Kalamazoo is right on the edge of that lake effect belt. You get to Battle Creek, it gets lit up on you.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But anyway, sorry.
I think we might need to name our next barrel-aged stout after that and call it Sideways Snow.
There you go.
I love these inspirations for beer names.
All right, so I'm in Holland and it's snowing like that, and hit a couple places. Final one was New Holland. I was watching it snow outside, and finally my friend John that was with me said, yeah, the sidewalks are heated, look. And it's true. The sidewalks in downtown Holland, Michigan are heated. So when it snows, it just instantly melts. It just rolls right out into the street.
When I was out there, I was in radio, and one of the stories I had to talk about was there was a section of downtown Kalamazoo that was testing these heated cement slabs to see if it could cut down the tax burden on salt and road commissions.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And cleaner. Obviously, mm-hmm. You're not putting all that salt down on it. So we're going to move out from Holland, and we're going back into the city, but not just any brewery. I mean,
the much venerated, much anticipated. Don't people like travel across the country to come get this?
To me, it's a sort of a quintessential Michigan beer. We're talking about Founders Brewery, which we have reviewed several times on this show. And what we're drinking tonight is the breakfast stout. So
like, if you say to somebody, like veterans like yourselves, if you say to somebody Michigan craft beer, is this something that pops up in your head as, like, top five?
Always.
Yeah. Oh, definitely up there, yeah.
Always. Guys, you got the bottle over there. What's
it's
going on?
Too. We got the no baby bottle. By
no
the way.
Baby on this
no
bottle.
No baby.
Somebody was asking me tonight. I went to pick some up, and I asked at my local craft beer shop. I said, "Do you have the Founders Breakfast Stout that has the baby back on the bottle now?" And we'll talk about why they took it off. And he says, "No, we only have the label with the baby off the bottle."
I was in Jersey. I was able to get the baby on the bottle. I believe I texted you gentlemen probably drunk late night.
You know, babies should be on the bottle. That's what I always say.
I think I texted, I Twittered JR late at night and was like, is this the label?
Well, you know, with the baby off the label, there is a little sticker on the refrigerator behind the kitchen table there.
There's a number.
And there's a phone number, and it says, you know, you should call this number if you want the baby back on the label. And I hear now that the baby is on the label, but unfortunately my local store did not have any of that yet.
All right. Babies are allowed to push alcohol once again. All is right in the world.
Just put a nipple on that bottle and let them have it.
they don't need to get over themselves.
Babies don't know.
They don't care either.
My mom started me with a nipple on a Stroh's bottle, so I don't see what's wrong with any of this. But I'll tell you, the owner of the store said, "Are you kidding me? They took the baby out." He didn't know. They took the baby off the label.
Well, he was new. It was the second day.
And he says, you know, they should put the baby on the label and just give him a little mustache.
Yeah. He's everywhere running to the beer store. Because
age him.
Well, anyway, this is a double chocolate coffee oatmeal stout. And I'm telling you what, this is one of the top stouts in my book. We're going to give it a pour and have a check it out. It's a fantastic beer from Founders in Grand Rapids. 8.3% alcohol by volume, 60 IBUs. And if you haven't had it, I recommend you search it out. I'm sure the distribution is getting wider on this.
Well, as I said, I picked it up in Jersey, and I can tell you it was usually with things of higher ABV, like I'll limit myself, all right, we could just do a couple. But it was, no, this four-pack did not stand a chance. I had to keep putting it in my face, for lack of a better way to put it.
I would imagine it has international distribution, because Founders is in quite a few European countries.
It pours a coal black, very nice tan head on it with great lacing. If you swirl it around in your glass, you're going to get a great lacing on the sides. The aroma is certainly, you know, in the coffee arena. Not as strong on the coffee as a couple of the others we just had, but oatmeal in the beer definitely is going to lend to the body, and let's give it a taste and check that out.
You know, while you're tasting, I do want to share with you guys. Here's how you have rubbed off on me. That sounded kind of gay. But anyway, I couldn't drink it straight out of the bottle. I was in a hotel. I had to pour it at least into the paper hotel cup to at least get it in a cup.
Proper hotel glassware.
Yeah, like it was no. Like I can't do this out of the bottle. Like you guys have taught me that pouring in a bottle does certain things to it. Moves it around, gets things going.
I'll tell you what, Chris.
Makes for the optimal experience.
I'm going to give you some props here because, I mean, we're about 18 episodes into the Beer Nuts here, and you are, like, totally coming along on the journey, and you were impressing me with nonstop, you know, your knowledge and your appreciation, and you're just turning into a beer nut. And I'm telling you, man, you have really come along, and you've appreciated, and you give craft beer its due. So,
well, it's like I liked beer anyways, but now it's like we're – come to appreciate beer and learn the finer learn the finer points, you know, learn. But it's probably worth it to these brewmasters, things like this, of people learning of how to appreciate what they're doing rather than just, you know, I'm sure there's part of them that's okay with just blindly selling units, you know, and making some money, but I'm sure there's some satisfaction that comes with, like, maybe people learning about, like, there's why they're doing what they're doing.
Chris, I was at Frankenmuth Resort last night. I was staying at the Bavarian Inn. And I checked my family in, and I'm like, I got to go to the Lager Mill. It's a brewing museum, and it's also a great beer store, and they sell brewing ingredients to home brewers. So it's just one of those places that I would naturally gravitate to, as probably Uncle Pete and Dugout.
Heck yeah.
Hopefully one day you might do. But I went there, and I saw a very good assortment of beers, and that's where I asked for the pear cider, and they didn't have any. And long story short, I was like, I can't go back. I'm going to drink out of like a coffee cup or a styrofoam coffee, you know.
So you've done that.
I bought the $4.99 Lager Mill pint glass, which is still probably an inferior vessel because it's just a shaker pint. But you just can't, you know, every time I leave. And my wife said, oh, we have a million glasses. What are you buying another glass for? I'm like, well, I forgot to. So, you know, I have my own Michigan beer guy pint, you know, glasses. And, you know, all I have to do is put one in my bag. And so anyway, so that's where we were from. And to hear you say that, yeah, I couldn't drink it out of the bottle, I'm proud of you. I can't drink a good beer out of the bottle. It's not going to taste good.
That's when
I went to the Ratskeller.
Well, see, it's I knew, yeah, not moving it around. I was going to cheat myself out of the experience.
I can appreciate it.
I made him go back to the dishwasher and he found a glass. I had his hand. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not drinking out of plastic, sorry.
We went to a Mexican restaurant.
You're a snob, but that's who I am.
We went to eat last night at a Mexican restaurant, and they only had limited selection of a couple of Mexican lagers. Okay, so I had a Negra Modelo.
Good beer.
They give me a bottle. I says, I got to have glass. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. I got to look at it. I got to smell it. I can't stick my nose in the bottle. I can't see through the brown glass. Give me a glass. I got to check it out. So it's just a habit.
Guys, I have to share you a story of a conversion.
All right.
You know, she's a bartender. And every, you know, you pick her up after work, you know, just grab a couple, deuces, you know, because you're a bartender, you serve people alcohol all day, hey, maybe you end up wanting a beer after you work. But she was doing the Miller Lights and, you know, had mentioned things about, like, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and sure enough, picked up, she, one day on a whim, on my recommendations, perhaps via through you gentlemen, picked up a couple Sierra Nevada Pale Ales, and now that's she tasted it and was like, wow, this is so much better, and now that's what she does. Got her off of one of the Evil Empire beers and onto a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Ooh, hey. Points for you, man. Points.
I told her what you guys said. It's the starter craft beer.
Yeah,
it's the gospel one beer at a time.
That's what introduced all the, like,
one beer at a time.
Yes. You need to take credit for that, Chris.
People in the 90s were introduced to craft beer by that beer. You know, that was like one of the pioneering brands.
But I think the satisfying thing, at least to me, was she was like, wow, this is so much better. And I was like, yes, this is what I was talking about. She's been mocking me and calling me a beer snob, but she like realized, oh, wow, you're right. Yeah, this is way better.
You have to give her the big red cock now.
Ha ha. Yep. On that note, Uncle Pete's going to use our final beer of the evening.
Okay, we're going to tone it down a little bit. I know it's got a racy name, Big Red Cock, and Cock spelled C-O-Q. Junior, why don't you look that up while I'm talking? I don't know what that stands for, but might be like a rooster or something, you know, a big old...
You got to turn your safe search off.
Yeah, it might be self-explanatory.
Nope, or turn it on, depending on what you want to run into.
Hey,
something about a rooster.
Never do a Google search on Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a warning for everybody out there.
No, I'm not using my computer, so I guess it's... I think
it really stands for like a Rhode Island Red Rooster, right? Remember Foghorn Leghorn?
I'm not clicking on the video tab for this search. I'm not.
You want to be a real live chicken hawk boy? Anyways, Vivant, Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids has one called Big Red Cock. It's got a rooster on the label. And this is a Belgio-American Red Ale. We're going to tone it down because this is a 6% ABV. We're going to give it a taste and a look and a sniff. Check it out.
Scratch.
It's been a little scratch and sniff. It's been a while since I've been there and had this one. So Let's give it a taste. Very well carbonated, definitely. But then I'm not one of those to pour my beer gently. I like to let it open up and really give it a good head on it. I'm Greg. I'm Murray. Oh, goodness. This has a nice hop profile coming through on the
aroma. Piney.
Very piney. Very piney. Wow. Hop bomb all the way.
Fresh.
It's fresh. It's got a nice amber color. Very clear. Huge white head on it. Long, lasting, foamy, thick head.
Some kind of fruit.
Not a lot of Belgian influence. I mean, this is going to be a red kind of a hop bomb for a red ale. What do you got, JR?
So the beer was named after the red rooster that adorns our brewery's logo. Wipe that grin off your face. It started as a one-off brew at the pub, has become one of our most sought-after beers. Deep red hue comes from the special malts we use to give the beer the backbone it needs to stand up to the excessive hop juice brewers throw in. Citra hops give this beer the mango, tropical fruit, citrusy goodness that we love. Definitely can pull that out of it. As soon as you taste that beer, it's got that citrusy taste. It's really good with like a cheddar or some kind of like a sharp cheese, like a aged Gouda or a sharp cheddar. Really good. I like this.
Yeah, it's very hoppy. I mean, if you like red ales, but a little bit of Belgian influence that are very hoppy, you're going to get a nice caramel malt backbone on this, but it's going to be very Citra hop influenced. So if you haven't tried it yet, go out and grab a big red cock and put it in your mouth.
Well, 6%.
Oh, come on. I can edit that out and make that a drop. You know that, right?
Okay. I'll start over.
Hey, you know what? Nothing wrong with being a little...
I'm being honest. I mean, the words are the words.
It's a fantastic beer. Like you said.
All right.
Go get one.
Here's a couple other facts about Grand Rapids. The top 25 world beer city. I don't know how much weight this actual website carries. Drinkingmadeeasy.com. World's third best brewery, which would be Founders Brewery, and that's from ratebeer.com. I'd say that's pretty prestigious. Five of the world's top 100 beers, and all five of those are from Founders, and that's at Rate Beer. America's best beer, which Rate Beer again, which is Founders KBS, which we all know, kind of know and love. Christopher, I don't know if you've had the opportunity on that beer, but it's pretty amazing. America's Best Brew Pub, which is Hop Cat. And this leads us up to sort of how we want to do this. We want to do Beer of the Week first and then Brewery of the Week.
Well, that's
whatever you want.
Well, yeah, it's usually it's yeah.
Doug, it's your world. We're just living in.
All right.
Do we want to work small to big or big to small?
Let's go beer of the week from what we've sampled tonight, and I'm gonna throw that over to you three gentlemen. So, Uncle Pete, what do we got?
I'm gonna go with the Dark Star. I really like that one, Big Lake Brewing. It had a really strong coffee influence, full body stout with Kona and Sumatra coffee, the cocoa nibs. I'm really like a black coffee guy, and I like coffee stouts. So I'm going to give some props to Dark Star from Big Lake.
All right, and JR, what do you have for us?
Oh man, this is a tough one. I really like the Parent Hot Pot. Eye opener because I had never tried it before, but I can't put that above Founders Breakfast Stout.
Which one?
Founders Breakfast Stout is going to be my vote. It's just the mouthfeel, the overall drinking experience with Founders Breakfast Stout. It's got everything I want in that. So the Parent Hot Box is a very close second and was almost an upset. But I'm going with Founders Breakfast Stout as my vote.
All right. Junior, what do we have?
So I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Pops here and
Pete. I'm going to follow him and say the Dark Star definitely took it from me. Even just looking at the can, the design of the can is actually really cool. The little coffee cup flying in a rocket ship. I kind of like that. So the flavor is good. The color was good. And the mouthfeel. You get a really good mouthfeel with the Dark Star. So that's what I got.
All right. Christopher.
We might run away with it here. I mean, it's the one beer I still I have kept it in the snifter. We've been refilling the other glass I went and ran upstairs for, but I mean, I've been the Dark Star. I love this beer. Yes, this is my vote.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I'd vote the same. I vote the same way. So
yeah,
obviously a clear winner, which is Dark Star.
So all right, we got a beer of the week.
We got a beer of the week.
Our beer of the week.
Dark Star.
Hey, where's that CSNY song? Dark Star.
All right.
Well, I see you in the morning. Because I might have one in the morning. Because I don't have to work.
You're serenading me over here.
We're going to brew. Can I change my vote for Founders Breakfast Stout? I feel like a dick now.
Well, I was going to say that, JR, I mean, I was going to get an honorable mention from that because that's a beer I wanted to cast my beer of the week vote for that I haven't drank for a month. I still remember how good that tasted. Like I told you guys, I wanted to like leave the bottles and I couldn't. I was like, I have more of this. We got to keep going. Like,
you know what? I hear my song in the background. I'm changing the vote. Tell me I can't.
Waffler.
But no, that's, I mean, it's good for Darkstar.
Yeah, I think that's for them. Power to the show for bringing these beers that we just kind of have a curiousness about and then just go, all right, let's just do it. Well, let's get them on the show and put us on the spot and rate them.
Line.
Like right there, the first time you
have intuition. And here it is, our beer of the week.
The more and more I'm out and about throughout the country, the more I realize what's something you guys told me, or even JR, way back on the old podcast on Regimented, you talk about how Michigan is just like this... this mecca for craft beer that a lot of people don't think about. And it's because, like I said, I said in the last episode, or maybe it was this episode, I don't remember. We've drank a lot of beer at this point. It's you know, New York, you know, your craft beer game is weak. The best thing I see coming out of New York as far as craft beer goes is Brooklyn. If you want some good craft beer, go to Brooklyn. There's probably some things happening, but it's like it's. Yeah, it seems like Michigan is just offering, because even when I'm either in New York or New Jersey, you're going to see Founders somewhere. Like, it's, yeah. You're going to see Bell's.
You go into London and find Founders. And pretty it's cool.
Maybe it's just because we live here, it's things that we take for granted.
And it's all right to do that. We have Shorts Brewery, it's only in Michigan.
But you know what, too, what I've realized about Shorts is I now feel sorry for people outside of Michigan, is you cannot get Shorts.
Because you can't get it, yeah. So, all right, we got Brewery of the Week still. Christopher.
Oh, I have to start. Dark Star. That's the path of least Big resistance.
Lake. Big Lake Brewery.
Big Lake,
Big Lake oh, Brewery. Big Lake, Big Lake Brewery.
Oh, Big Lake. Big Lake. Yes, you're right.
All right. Okay.
Error on my part.
Junior.
Yeah. Again, Big Lakes.
I mean, Big Lake
Brewery. They got the Dark Star. I mean, how can you go against it?
Uncle Pete.
I'm going against it. Sorry, Junior.
Oh.
What? Wow. I was going to say No,
there's a difference between Beer of the Week and Brewery of the Week, okay? Yeah. I want to give Big Lake Brewing props, definitely, but, you know, I'm going to go back to Brewery Vivant, and for the variety that they have, I've been there a few times, they've got great farmhouse ales, they got saisons, they got great variety of beers that taste really good and pair well with food. Founders, certainly, we voted as Brewery of the Week in the past. Tonight, this episode, I'm going to go with Brewery Vivant. The peppercorn and rye I thought was a nice, fresh, effervescent, very clean, crisp, very satisfying beer. So I'm going with Brewery Vivant.
All right. JR.
I'm voting for White Flame. I love White Flame. I met their brewer randomly at a Hop Cat in Grand Rapids when he had no idea who I was and I had no idea who he was. And actually, it was an assist brewer. Not just because I met their people, but I love their beers. And it's phenomenal. The malted milk ball. Actually, that's not even. what is it? Black Flame?
The Black Flame. Yeah, I think that release is coming up in about another week to 2 weeks.
So what is Black Flame?
Black Flame is a limited release beer from White Flame Brewing Company.
And like coffee something?
Or? It's I have to look up what it actually or Belgian is. It's
triple?
It's a big beer, and yeah. They hold a lottery to release the bottles.
What?
And you could sign up
online.
You
can't just go freely buy them? You have to be chosen to purchase one? Does Willy Wonka run this brewery?
It is a special release.
So
we got White Flame from JR. And I have White Flame.
Hooked me up with the bottle of the Gold Flame Tequila 8 Sparrow, which was awesome. We tasted that on an earlier show. And I love what they stand for. I love the guys through there. I have a little connection to them, so that's where I'm going with it.
All right. I'm going the same way. White Flame. You know, I go to Grand Rapids once a month, and I stay there. You know, there's so many breweries here. We got 40 plus on this ale.
So wait,
trail.
Is there a tie? Is it like 2-2-1?
It's 2-2-1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we need a tiebreaker.
Wait, this is unprecedented. This is unprecedented.
Yeah,
in the Beer Nuts universe, we have a tie. How do we break this?
Well, we can either take the one and they get to vote for one of the two, or we can just declare co-champions.
Yeah, I'd say if five of us vote for one of the two, somebody's going to win.
Yeah.
All right. So who's the deciding vote?
So we had two for Darkstar, and we had two for...
White Flame. Uncle Pete voted for Brewery of Vlad.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, but they're eliminated. They're not part
Uncle
of the
Pete's
tie.
Uncle Pete's the dominant.
All right, so I got to choose between Darkstar and White Flame. Yeah. Where's the White Flame? We got the White Flame?
they did
this
that.
This is a horrible, horrible honor for Uncle Pete. He has to retaste both of them.
No, they don't have the White Flame.
We don't have the White Flame.
Oh,
you have to.
This is a dilemma.
Well, they did do the Golden Flame that we did on the Bourbon Barrel Age, or the barrel aged ones. That was the one in tequila barrels.
Oh, I remember. Oh, it puts me in a tough spot, guys.
Uncle Pete, have your tongue think back to 6 months ago or 4 months ago.
What's wrong with having co-champs?
Yeah, I go for the co-champions because I don't have the basis right now to make a choice between the two.
All right, so we have co-champions tonight. Big Lake Brewing. Wow, what an upset, right? You know?
Way to go, Big Lake. Well deserved.
And the other is White Flame, and near and dear to my heart. Hudsonville and Holland. I mean,
strong entries. I'll tell you that.
We just hit a tip of the iceberg of all the beers that are available in Grand Rapids area. I mean, so many breweries, 40 plus breweries on the Ale Trail, ciders, you know, wineries. It's a great place to do a beercation or a kind of multitask.
Have we expounded on wineries and ciders? Have we expounded on the Ale Trail? Can we do that real quick?
Oh, the Ale Trail is put out by Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce Tourism Board, and it's a PDF file that you can download and print out, and it gives you readouts of all the breweries and cideries and distilleries and meaderies that are in the area.
You know, meaderies coming up in the game.
Yeah.
I've heard that term a lot more in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. But, you can just go to Grand Rapids' website and easily download the Ale Trail. And sort of a great place to sort of plan a beercation around. And, you know, remember there's always alternatives to hotels and... you know, like places like Airbnb,
vans,
and vans, packed seats of cars.
Yeah.
Are there a few musicians from the area?
Oh,
Ron Anthony Phoenix.
There are a lot of, Dugout handed me a list.
I saw a list too, but all I care about is Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Anthony Kiedis.
We played Fire when we were talking about Golden Flame earlier, their Hendrix cover, but it's... Hey, Junior, I have a question for you, because you've been laughing at all the appropriate jokes I have made. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Oh, okay. Well, you're ahead of the game.
Well, like I said, I've been sneaking around, sipping out the good beers out of the beach.
Yeah,
I'm significantly older than you, but... You've gotten all my jokes, so right on. But
I have suffered for his advancement, I'll tell you that. But that's good. That's what parents are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Good parenting.
right. Well, let's bring this home.
Dugout, I thought you were going to tell us more about all these musicians, man. Got this big list of guys. What's the dealio?
You know, we get this real quick.
Okay.
I tell you, one of my favorite musicians ever, or bands, Tool. I'm the right age for it, you know. As the person who looks at the analytics on the websites and such, there might be some people who are like, hey, youngster, what is this crazy band? And there might be some young people who are like, all right, old man. But Tool.
Yeah, but
the singer of Tool is from Grand Rapids.
I like Tool.
Yes. Oh.
I know that. I'm an old guy and I know Tool.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony, I also know DeBarge, which I'm not really happy that I know.
Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Dugout. Got to point out someone you left off your list from the same band, Chad Smith. Well, never mind, not from Grand Rapids. I think he's from Metro Detroit, but I thought he was from Grand Rapids. But
I thought
I know Chad Smith is a Michiganian.
Al Green, I did not know. I mean,
I know 50% of the Chili Peppers are from Michigan. We'll couch it that way.
Really?
Cool. Yes.
And you know Mustard Plug, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, when I was out in West Michigan, I saw Mustard Plug at various venues.
They're still over there playing at Bell's and stuff.
Yeah. Now, as gentlemen, cool, you know, a few years from retirement.
So, I think I want to check out this band, It Dies Today.
That sounds so emo.
You ever listen to I Prevail? Does some good covers of some other bands. They're a punk band. They're from Metro Detroit, I believe.
Well, listen, Chris, if you don't mind, we'd like to have Junior come up and visit at your place sometime when we do an episode.
Oh, it's, you know,
he's a guitar maniac, just like some other guys we know in the group. It'll be fun to get together and plink around a little bit.
No, we all got to get back together in one place, you know?
Yeah.
I agree strongly.
You know, we want to mention that thank you for following everybody at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter. Everybody who has followed, you know, we are humbled.
Thank you.
Hey, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I would like to say, I want to give another glass away. We're actually starting to get some traction with this. I want to make it a little tougher. I want to, anybody who wants a free glass for the next 7 days, actually up until the Super Bowl, if you respond with the Beer Nuts to at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, respond with the ending of, with correct spelling, a big red blank.
Oh.
And if you can do that.
That's a quiz.
Fair enough.
And we'll throw in Instagram. Same thing, at Beer Nuts Podcast.
But you want a picture of that?
No pictures, please.
No.
Please.
Unless it's on the label.
Please, baby, please.
You guys did think of the flaw in that. We don't want pictures of your red cock.
But with the correct spelling. It's a three-letter spelling.
Chris, you know we're going to have to edit you out.
Yeah.
Any other final comments? Everybody good?
I do want to say I am surprised that Grand Rapids is such a mecca for craft beer. To me, it's Grand Rapids. It's some, like, you know, B or C or D level tier city in Michigan, But learning that it's got such a pedigree in the craft beer world, it's like, wow. You know what? I need to get my ass in the car and go up there and stay there.
We need
for a couple
to do
days.
A Beer Nuts road trip.
Maybe
I'll go over this ale trail.
Honestly, in this episode, we just scratched the surface. There is so much more out there that we didn't even give mention to. You know, all the love to all the breweries in Grand Rapids, for sure.
Well, it's got a long and storied history, you know, at the Grand Rapids Brewing Company.
I think it's time to do all the credits on all the various outlets. So, Chris, take it away.
Yes, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Look us up on the Facebook.
Sound old, man.
Yeah, I know, man. Right? You know,
anybody wants to send a craft beer article to @michiganbeerguy.com or @michiganbeerguy on Twitter?
Yes, Beer Nuts Podcast @christophermedia.net if you want to email the show.
Hey, we're taking applications to be a beer nut. You can come on the show.
You know, guest nuts. That sounds like a totally different website.
Hold on.
Around a big red cock.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Give the man
this
a
is really
shot.
Going downhill. Quick.
Yeah, I think we better sign off.
All right, JR, here we go.
As they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
Grab a big red cock and put it in your mouth.
I like Tool.
Guess nuts.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.